Hey there, friend. Patty Dominguez here, episode number 49 of the Positioning to Profit podcast. Thank you for being here. So appreciate it. Today, I have an episode for you, really awesome. It's with Nick Loper from SideHustleNation.com. And he has been building Side Hustle Nation for quite a while. And why I thought to have him on the podcast is he is such a great example of building a complete enterprise in relation to a trend when people have their side hustles. So if you're thinking of doing this, especially in this environment, in this economy, reinventing yourself, finding something new, finding your niche, perhaps starting your own lifestyle brand, your own movement, then this episode will be important for you to check out because Nick's got a great story and a phenomenal track record. All right, here we go. Hey there, I'm Patty Dominguez. You're about to discover what it means to position your brand and your business to stand out. This show explores the stories of small business owners just like you who are bringing their message out to the world and impacting their tribe. So if you want to take your business to a category of one status, then hang with me because this podcast shares everything you need to know about how to be more prolific with your brand so that you can have more profits. All right, Nick, thank you so much for being on the Positioning to Profit podcast. It is so good to have you here. And I know you are a pro at this podcasting thing.
Well, I don't know. Lots of practice, if nothing else. But thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure. And honestly, it's just so cool to see your background. We were having a little side conversation before I hit the record button and just really impressed the fact that you're like a multiple selling, like you have all these books. And I was just looking, I'm like, man, this guy cranks out content. And the question is, do you think that's the case because you're a writer or do you have this insatiable creator vibe that you're putting stuff out there all the time?
Well, I definitely thought of myself as a writer first. And then it was kind of weird when the podcast in the first year took off, you know, grew several times faster than the my writing. I was like, well, maybe I should start to think of myself as a podcaster. But I do enjoy writing. It's still something that that I've always enjoyed to do. Like, you know, you can kind of get in the flow of it. And especially when it's a topic that you know and that you're excited about and you can just crank out thousands of words at a time. And that's, like, to me, that's like really fulfilling work. And then, of course, there's the whole editing process and cleaning it up. And I should note, like, all these books are self-published. There's definitely authors who are more prolific than me and have traditional publishing deals and they're on the New York Times and stuff. But I look at Amazon as another buy buttons platform, as like, if you want to make some money, like, go where the cash is already flowing. And Amazon is a huge marketplace for that. And so I'm trying to think of different, you know, keyword, what are people looking for on Amazon? Like, could they discover me? It's another avenue for discovery in a lot of ways.
That's so smart. And just really for the benefit of everybody, because I know that you have lots of different books on Amazon, how to hire your virtual assistant, the whole side hustle concept. Can you tell everybody what the side hustle show, the side hustle community is all about?
Sure. We're all about trying to figure out how to make extra money, start a business in your spare time, and the hundreds and hundreds of creative ways to do that.
And how did you discover this for yourself? I understand that you and I have this in common, the corporate background and just dying to get out of that. How long were you in corporate?
It was 3 years for me. And I spent that time, nights and weekends, building this shoe business. It was a comparison shopping site for footwear. Okay. And in its latest iteration was called shoesniper.com, where it's like, you know, we'll tell you where to get the best deal on your next pair of shoes. So that was like a sniper type of thing. That pulled in the catalogs from Zappos and Amazon and earned commissions from those stores when any sale came through the site. But it was like this long, slow grind of building it to the point where I felt comfortable saying goodbye to the corporate world. And even then, it was kind of this scary leap to make. You're like, can I really cut my own paycheck? Like, sure, I've got, you know, 6 to 12 months of revenue history, but it's like, you know, will that continue? It was still a scary leap.
Yeah, for sure. And then, so what happened to Shoe Sniper?
It kind of died a slow death. It was, It operated in the margin between the cost of traffic, largely from Google AdWords, never figured out or never really cracked the code on how to get it to rank organically. So played in the margin between the cost of traffic, which crept up over the course of 10 years, and the value of that traffic in terms of affiliate commissions, which in the early days, these companies were like really aggressive. They saw the affiliate channel as a customer acquisition channel. Like, hey, maybe we'll even lose money on this first order, but hopefully this person buys from us year after year after year. And that's kind of how they looked at it. Over the course of 10 years of running this thing, they kind of scaled that back, even for top performers, even if people were driving a lot of volume. So it was like margins got narrower and narrower. And around the same time, so a year and a half before shutting it down, started the Side Hustle Show really as a side project to that business. I mean, that was still the main revenue driver. But within a year and a half, the show and the blog had enough traction where it's like, okay, I think this could be where I could shift my energy towards as the shoe business was kind of sunsetting.
Which is really fantastic. So is the Side Hustle Show really the core business that you have and just different opportunities out of that?
That's where it started. It started blog and podcast. Podcast found way more traction early on than the blog side ever did. It's shifted a little bit in the last couple years where the site has built up enough domain authority or whatever to like start getting more intentional about SEO and keyword rankings and still playing the affiliate game to a certain extent over there. But it's kind of balanced out the piece of the pie where in the first few years, I would have told you it's almost all driven by the podcast.
Mm. And so how do you help people? So say, for example, I'm in a really crappy corporate job and I come across your Side Hustle Show. What are the options? I know that you have a book and you have tips and things like that through your blog. Do you have any online programs or anything to help me if I'm dying to get out of my job and I want to move into something new?
I do. I created one called startmysidehustle.com. It kind of walks people through the process of starting a service-based business. Because after doing a kind of a audit of my 300 plus guests, I found that more of them started with a service-based business than any other model. But before you do that, obviously fire hose yourself on all the free resources that are out there, like 300 something episodes of the show, tons of free ideas, guests being incredibly generous. Like, here's how I built this. Here's how I marketed it. Here's how I got my clients. Here's how I priced this thing. And when I hang up the call being like, I should do that. Like, I could totally go do that. Like, that's the mark of a good episode for me. In fact, we just recorded this morning with a woman who was like, had this whole system for getting clients on LinkedIn. And it was incredible. And I was like, it had been years since I looked at my LinkedIn profile. And it's like, oh, here's all the things I'm doing wrong. And it was, you know, very awesome of her to share that stuff.
Yeah. So there's just always something happening, always something new that people can incorporate. And out of that, I'm sure you've amassed a really loyal following. Because I mean, how long has the podcast been around?
It's been coming up on 7 years, which seems crazy. I think of these early episodes, it's like they're kind of painful to go back and listen to, but so much, and this is true for podcasts, this is true for just about any business, is like getting in the reps. And it's safe to do early on because nobody is, relatively speaking, nobody is paying attention anyways. It's getting in the reps and learning the practice and the rhythm and doing it. There's getting comfortable practicing your craft in a way.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like I have a mentor of mine that says, listen, at the beginning, you're going to suck doing it. Then you're going to suck a little bit less until you don't suck at all. And then you like forge ahead and do your thing. So out of curiosity, with all the books that you have, I mean, I know you mentioned with the SEO thing and just you really getting a pulse on Amazon as to what are people searching for. Have those been door openers for you? I mean, are they good conversation starters or allowed you to be on stages if that's the route you want to go, just from a positioning standpoint? Have your books helped?
They have. A couple in particular have helped. The first kind of like book project that had any real strategy behind it was one called Work Smarter, which was in 2014. So it was about a year into doing the Side Hustle stuff at that point, still running the shoe business. But that was a book that was, it started out as a blog post, like, oh, it would be cool to compile all of these like killer resources that entrepreneurs recommend. And, you know, that blog post grew to like 5,000 words, 7,000 words. It's like, this is, and I still had a long way to go. It's like, this is becoming a little bit of a bigger project. But that kind of, it gave me an excuse to reach out to a ton of people who had contributed to the book, all of the companies that were mentioned in the book, that made some, you know, it was a pretty successful launch for a free, you know, free book at 20,000 downloads, thanks in part to a lot of this like big push, proactive marketing effort. And that the attention of some people in the self-publishing space, it kind of like snowballed from there. That was one of the beginnings of like, okay, maybe there's some life here. Maybe there's some momentum outside of the footwear world.
That's really awesome. And so do you stage speak at all or no, your primary vehicle is your podcast?
Yeah, I try not to do a ton of talking. I try not to do a ton of like, I don't know. If somebody invites me to come, like I won't necessarily turn it down if I'm going to be in town anyways, or if it's a fit, but like, I wouldn't necessarily proactively seek those out, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what in your opinion has been a standout when it comes to your, how to position yourself as a go-to with in what you do? Do you have any tried and true approaches in terms of the marketing side of things?
So a couple of things. The marketing early on, or at least my vision early on, was like, okay, I'll be the guinea pig. I'll test out a bunch of these different side hustle ideas and report back what works, what doesn't work. And for the first couple of years, I'd say that fueled a lot of the content. Like, hey, I interviewed a guy who was a really successful seller on Fiverr. So I took what I learned from him. I applied it myself. Mm-hmm. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't work. And actually made some decent money doing that. So that fueled a lot of the content early on. The other thing that I think helped the show stand out was, instead of being a generic entrepreneurship show where, because like, you know, that was something I wrestled with early on, like, does the world need another, you know, entrepreneurship interview podcast, but saying like specifically, hey, this is for people doing it in their spare time. Like, how can you start something with your limited hours and hear from people who got it done, who were kind of in a similar spot and they figured out how to make it work.
Mm. How do you build more crave into the marketing that you do? In other words, I talk about this whole thing about like, how do you create that longevity with the whole KLT factor where people know you, right? They're liking you, they're trusting you. How do you continue that thirst for what it is that you have? So is that just the consistency of your podcasting, or what have you found that's really engaging?
The consistency is huge. Podcasting is huge for this, because if somebody's going to spend 30, 40 minutes with you in their earbuds, and they're going to do that week after week after week, like, you start to build pretty deep relationships. And even for an interview show, it's like, if you put a mic in front of my face and ask me to monologue for half an hour, it's not, I'll just lock up. Like, I suddenly can't think of anything to say. Yeah. But it's like, the interview format allows an introvert like me to like turn the mic over to somebody else and say, no, you're the star of the show here. Like, let's learn from you. So that's a huge factor in terms of relationship building. The other thing that was really a pivotal point for me was in recognizing that the show is not a business in itself. The show is a content marketing channel of the business. Yeah. And so when I flipped that switch, and the specific tactic was creating episode-specific opt-ins or lead magnets for probably 200 episodes. Almost every week did this for quite a while. And I've kind of shifted a little bit more toward an SEO strategy today. But it was the chance to take anonymous listeners now into people that I could communicate with proactively through email. So it was like, hey, we took, you're probably out walking the dog, or you're at the gym, or you're driving in your car. You're not in a great place to take notes. Meanwhile, guest is dropping all these like juicy tactical details and tools and stuff. Don't worry, we took notes for you. You can go over here, sidehustlenation.com/blah blah blah, and you know, we'll send them straight to your email. And that worked really, really well. So when I started doing that, I had an email list of around 1,000 people. Within 3 months, it was 3,000. Within 6 months, it was 6,000. It was this huge inflection point for the business. And now, getting in people's inboxes, they had, and I would try and be really consistent about sending a newsletter every week with the latest content. They had something that was you know, easy to forward to a friend or just to pass it along. It's just kind of like a reminder, another touch point of communication.
And out of curiosity, so it sounds like you're not doing the content upgrades, right? Those freebies by show, you're focusing more on SEO. How specifically are you doing that?
So what we would do is kind of put the episode summary, and we called it like the highlight reel, behind that opt-in wall. And today, so we're still creating those, we're still writing those, but instead of having that 1,000, 1,500 words as an opt-in, just putting that as blog content on the show notes page. And that's tended to rank well. So like we did an episode on reselling on Amazon with, you know, kind of a retail arbitrage flipper person. And that was her thing. So now if you Google reselling on Amazon, like that post tends to show up. If you start how to start a junk hauling business, which I don't know how many people are Googling that, but it shows up pretty well with my interview with the guy from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And so it kind of goes back and forth. Like, so I'll still do it every now and again. But if I think that's something that I can rank for and pick up some search traffic for, I'll try and put that publicly on the page.
Oh, that's really good. It's really good. And so what, for example, it would be a marketing approach that failed miserably that you're like, yeah, that didn't work out. Let's go back to the drawing board. Okay, we're about halfway through with this episode, but I wanted to make sure that you knew about my new Positioning to Profit quiz so that you can discover how to use the key pillars of positioning to give yourself the ultimate edge for your business. It's an assessment, personalized plan of action to overcome these roadblocks that are keeping you from even more profit. So head on over to positioningquiz.com. All right, let's continue with the show.
I tried a bunch of like proactive stuff, LinkedIn groups, got not a lot of engagement. Twitter is just a ghost town. Pinterest worked really well for a minute, and then it's kind of like been on this long, slow decline where some people still get huge volumes of traffic from Pinterest. So I'm still trying to crack that code and wondering if it's worthwhile to invest in. I'm trying to think of other like blog. I mean, in the early days, I did all of the guest posting and stuff that you're supposed to do. And I had a hard time coming up with killer guest post ideas because I would find like, wow, I selfishly want to post this on my own site. And so it's hard to like offer that up to somebody else. But it was actually a guest post on the book launch recap of the Work Smarter book that drew a ton of traffic and actually inspired a course that I created on self-publishing. So it was like a balancing act. But I think the same rules of marketing still applies. Like, you need to get in front of your target customers where they're already doing business. That has meant guesting on other podcasts, guest posting on other blogs, you know, becoming somewhat active and known in different Facebook groups of your target audience. And all that stuff is kind of slowly, slowly added up over time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a slow, I completely agree. The thing that's been really helpful is like being on other people's podcasts. And somebody brought up a really great point to me a while back. They said, it's not about being on the biggest podcast episodes. Yes, that helps. But just being on different podcasts, even if they're smaller ones, it's like those backlinks and things like that on the show notes. And that is going to help you, right? Just to kind of cross-pollinate, if you will, on all these show note pages. Do you have any opinion on that? Is that accurate? Is that an accurate statement in your...
It's 100% true. Okay. And if you think about, you know, spending half hour, 45 minutes on a podcast where you could tell similar stories to you have in the past versus coming up with 2,000 original words of content, and like that could take hours and hours. And, you know, the outreach to go find a place to post it and all that stuff. My best accidental SEO was one of the first posts I wrote on the site. It was like 79 side hustle ideas you could start today. And so in WordPress, the default was like 79-side-hustle-ideas. And it went on and on and on. And I was like, that's kind of ugly. What if I just made it /ideas with the idea like I could constantly go back and update this post? And so having a short, easy to say URL on podcasts has drawn a ton of links to that post, and that's the most popular post still, like 7 years later, on the site. And so it's easy to say, hey, sidehustlenation.com/ideas is my updated list of business ideas you could start today. There's no opt-in required. And like over time, like that has drawn a ton of backlinks, which has obviously helped SEO, because the other players on that page are like Entrepreneur and, you know, some other big personal finance sites.
Exactly. That. Okay, cool. I'm really happy to hear you say that. That's awesome. And what is next for you with Side Hustle Show, or what do you have cooking for this year, 2020?
Tons of good stuff coming up. I've actually playing around with streamlining the production process a little bit. So historically, or at least for the last couple of years, what it's looked like is recording the interview, dumping the transcript or dumping the audio into a kind of AI transcription service. Temi, T-E-M-I, is the one I've been using lately. Otter, I think, is free, and Descript might be another free option. There's a bunch out there, and they're getting better all the time. So I'd mark up that transcript with the sections that I want the editor to trim out, and then send that over to him. And then I'd pre-record kind of my intro, ad reads, outro, takeaways, stuff like that. I've been playing around with doing more like single take stuff, like doing the ad reads with the guest on the air, and actually get a unexpected benefit sometimes where the guy's like, oh, you got FreshBooks, you got Gusto, oh, you guys got it so easy. Back when I was starting, like we had to do all this stuff by hand, or we had to hire a bookkeeper. And so I was like, oh, that was kind of a cool, unexpected plug for that stuff. But just trying to streamline that process a little bit more, since I tried to do some revenue attribution, and the podcast is still a huge driver. Excuse me, but I found the blog and SEO and affiliate stuff was actually a bigger piece of the pie last year. So trying to lean into the written content a little bit more.
Mm. So person, place, or thing, what are three things, Nick, that inspire you?
Person, place, or thing. I got to pick three things, one of each.
Whatever you want. Your interpretation of the question.
Well, lately, one thing that's been really helpful is like we have two kids, they're 2 and 4, and it's like a mad dash from when they wake up to the time we, you know, get out the door and go to school. So one thing that has been helpful is like, okay, I got to take, you know, get them their breakfast and then go take the dog out. And there's this moment of like quiet and calm, and it's like usually like right as the sun is rising over the hill. So I make a point to like go over there and just, you know, breathe it in. And it's like, okay, this is, you know, this is a beautiful world. This is a beautiful day. Like, okay, we're gonna make this happen. So that'd be a thing that inspires me. It's hard to pick an individual person that does. Obviously, Pat Flynn has been a huge virtual role model of mine through all his work at Smart Passive Income. I'm just constantly inspired by the guests and the members of the Side Hustle Nation community and the creative ways that they come up with to drive business. So those get me really going. And then on the flip side, the audience notes that I get, emails from readers or tweets from readers or listeners who are like, I listened to such and such episode, you know, 2 years ago, and I took action, and this changed my life, and like, wow, it's blown away because it's so anonymous. Like, it's just, yeah, you know, it's you and I talking on air, or you, me, and a guest talking on air, and it's like, you could see the, you know, blips on the chart, but it's hard to remember. Like, oh, those are real people, and you know, people are listening to this stuff, and hopefully making some changes because of it.
It's so true. And just the, what I like, I mean, Pat Flynn's a perfect example. You are too, around the importance of that consistency of putting it out there. And I really want to just reiterate that whole concept that you said at the beginning is doing it consistently, even though nobody may be listening. And just like, you're such a great testament, as well as Pat Flynn, is like, when you do, look at what happens and the impact that you have. And it's really random, but it started to happen for me too, where people would be like, I love that one episode where you said that one thing that was an aha moment. I'm like, really? Who's listening? That's so awesome. You know, like, yeah, it's just very inspiring. That's the fuel that we need as entrepreneurs to keep going. So I absolutely appreciate that comment that you made. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. So in the early days, it was like seeing just enough traction to like, okay, this is worth it. It was something that I enjoyed doing, but it's like, okay, it's worth it to keep going. You know, And then you zoom out now, it's like, well, relatively speaking, it was a very, very small audience. But the advantage of a small audience is that you can know people individually. And that's mm-hmm. something that Jonathan Mendonca from Choose FI has pointed out, is like, when you're just starting out, you're kind of like scrappy guerrilla marketer, like, you know, one-on-one, you can meet people face to face, you have this community, you can know, you know, where they live and what they like to do and what they're working on. And as you grow, like somebody on nationally syndicated radio obviously doesn't have that same connection with their community.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what would you be doing if you weren't an entrepreneur right now?
I don't know. It's kind of scary to think about. It actually did have one low point in business. I don't know. It's probably before Side Hustle Nation started, where it's like things just were not going well, like technical mm-hmm. challenges and whatever else. And like, all right. It was kind of painful. Like, I dust off the old resume, and my wife sat me down that night and she was like, you're just going to be miserable. Like, you know, started to look for like marketing jobs. Like, well, that's kind of what I know. Like, I've done online marketing for a few years. And she's like, no, you know, you'll figure it out. And that's kind of been the mantra through all these dips, is you'll figure it out. And I think that's what we all face. It's like, no matter how well your business is going, there's always some next challenge, next hurdle to figure it out. And that's the mark of entrepreneurship. It's like being able to keep moving past that stuff. So it's hard to say. Like, I guess I would enjoy doing some online content, SEO, digital marketing type of stuff, but it would have to be for the right client.
Yeah. And you would be side hustling your way out of it, it sounds like. Because, well, I appreciate, like, you have such a good wife for her to sit you down. She's like, no, you don't want to be doing that. That support system at home is everything. So that's really the beauty of that.
It is. And I recognize it's not something that everybody has. Like, why, right. Especially like, well, why are you wasting your time on that stupid blog? Or like, why are you, and it's like, because like, this brings me joy. Like, this is what I like to do. And it's, right. You know, having, recognizing it's a team sport has been really helpful for us. And being intentional about like not living up to our means when times are good, but it's like saying like, hey, this might not last forever. Like, mm-hmm. let's try and keep things as lean as we can on the off chance. And that's kind of exposed us to the whole FIRE community and the early retirement mm-hmm. set and all this kind of stuff that we never really were taught. And it's like, oh, there's like, we actually were gracious enough to have a teacher in high school who was all like, investing, indexing, and dollar cost averaging and all this stuff. But where he stopped short was like the end game. He's like, sure, you do this for 40 years, you got a boatload of money in retirement. He's like, but you may not need that, you know. He never really brought in the expense side of the equation or the end game of a safe withdrawal rate, stuff like that.
It's so pivotal to have that the mentorship in different phases in life. That has absolutely been the case for me too. It's like people that you come across with and the mentors, coaches, et cetera, to guide you on the right path. Their hindsight becomes your foresight. And I think there's a lot of power there in that.
Yeah. Was there a point in doing your show where you're like, This just isn't working. Like, you tap in the mic. So like, is this thing on? Like, is anybody listening?
So many different things in my entrepreneurial career. I've been there. I've been to the point where I'm like looking on LinkedIn and be like, is this going to work out? Because guess what? I've been doing it for 7 years, not the podcast, but you know, being in business for myself, and it just takes different directions. And the lessons have been really significant. And I mean, it's the greatest roller coaster ride ever. Is what I always say. I wouldn't trade it in for the world, and I'm a glutton for punishment because I absolutely love what I do and I'm very passionate about it. But yeah, it's like those dips, you know, kind of like where Seth Godin talks about the dip. That's a real thing. It's a real thing, and you have to have the fortitude to keep going. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think one of the key things for that has been the experience and the coaches and the guidance to help you along, because it's like you have blinders and you just don't know where your blind spots are. And unless you have that, you don't know. There's so much uncertainty and ambiguity that you have to deal with. And I think there's so much magic in having those right types of people in your life. So totally.
And I take it the business that you're working on now is not the business that you started with 7 years ago.
Oh, gosh, no. It's so interesting. We could talk a whole hour on the way that I thought it was supposed to look like, and even my psychology around pricing. I think pricing is a really interesting topic because people price to their self-esteem. That was a big one, just learning how to like bring in the 18 years of corporate experience I had and like, how do you parlay that into entrepreneurship? And I thought, but I have an MBA. That doesn't matter. You know, what you're doing now is so different. And that's the whole game, right? There's so many different instances, occurrences, clients, and even like the energy behind the way that I was attracting people. And it's just so fascinating. And yeah, in a way different space now, thankfully. But yeah, there's been a lot of scars along the way.
People price on self-esteem. That's a fascinating way to put it, because I never really was able to put that to words, because other people, they'll come out of the gate, $5,000 is my coaching package. Take it or leave it. Yeah. I'm like, dang, you know, what gave me the confidence to do that? They're like, well, I needed to make it worth my while. And I was targeting this specific audience of people that had money. Like, wow. You know, good for you. No beta group, no free, you know, it's like, nope, this is what it is. I'm like, man, go for it.
Yeah. And then within that, there's such a psychology. Are you going to be able to deliver? Are you speaking in integrity? Because, I can get into a lot of different things that there's like this, I'm sure you know, this whole movement of high ticket, and people are doing these crazy prices and they just don't have the experience to back it up. And that inherently, that's a problem. Yeah. So anyway, I can go on. Yeah, pricing alone. Okay, so as we're wrapping, it totally is. So as we're wrapping up, what positioning advice would you have for someone who is looking to either start or grow their business and not quite sure how to position themselves?
So think of positioning as you're carving out a little niche of the market. And so for me, it was like, I don't want to talk to everyone interested in entrepreneurship. I want to talk to people who are interested in starting something on the side. And so it's very specific. That could be like, I'm targeting, dog owners in this particular neighborhood. We had a guest on recently who had a pet waste removal business. And so that was her niche. And it's like, you can either do it yourself or you could hire us. And so that was one way to go about it. I'm trying to think of other kind of like positioning stuff. So I have another site actually called Virtual Assistant, which started out as my own, it's like Yelp for outsourcing companies. It started out for my own like trials and tribulations of trying to hire help and like, which of these companies are legit? Like, where do I find the best people? Mm-hmm. And it has morphed into this like crowdsourced review platform. And that's what it says on the homepage. It's like honest virtual assistant reviews, because it's like, and now there's a bunch of other sites that do similarly, but at the time there wasn't anybody else doing that. And so it's like, okay, what's the positioning? How does it like, smack you in the face the first time that you see it, the first time you see it on somebody's LinkedIn headline, on somebody's homepage? Like for the longest time, MailChimp was like, send better email. It was like 3-word headline on their page. And it's like, very simple. Like, this is what this is for. And other times you find, I go on like tech companies, they send me pitches all the time and they're like, integrated solutions. You know, it's like, I made it to the bottom of the page. I still have no idea like how this works, what it is. Like, is it for me? Does it help me? Like, how does it work? So I think the clearer you can be about what you do and who you do it for, the better off that should be.
I couldn't agree more. I call it the curse of knowledge, right? Where we have this need to over-intellectualize things. And it's like, come on, break it down for me.
Yes.
That's a very real thing. I love that. It's a great tip. Nick, thank you so much. How can people connect with you, find out more about what you do with Side Hustle?
You bet. So sidehustlenation.com is the home base. Of course, we'd love to have you tune in to the Side Hustle show in your favorite podcast player app. But other than that, I'm easy to find. Come find me on any social channel and we can connect.
All right, Nick, thank you so much for being on the show. I so appreciate it. Thank you for being such a great example of keeping the consistency going and providing tremendous value in the world. So I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for checking out the Positioning to Profit podcast. If you haven't already done so, please make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. And also, it would mean the world to me if you would take a quick moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or your favorite podcast player. It really helps to get the word out about the podcast and, of course, the featured guests. And lastly, please make sure to connect with me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm on all of them. And use hashtag positioning to profit so that I can search you out and connect that way too. All right. Thanks so much. See you next time.